Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And it's 50 years since the building of the Berlin Wall began. Steve Evans reports.
It is August the 13th, 1961.
East Berliners were awakened early this morning by heavy army lorries roaring through the streets and by the sirens of police cars. This was their first indication of the fact that the East German authorities had decided to seal off West Berlin from East Berlin and from East Germany, which surrounds it.
I'm standing just in front of the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, that great stone arch which is the very symbol of this city. In the early hours of that day, the work of sealing the borders began right here, initially with rolls of barbed wire, blocking this gate into the east. Water cannons and troop carriers rolled up. Soldiers from East Germany, the Soviet zone, stood in lines, blocking citizens, their own citizens, from crossing into the west. The city's transport system was sliced in two.
Road crossings into West Berlin are all controlled now, and the underground and overhead railways which used to run on from East Berlin into West Berlin now stop at the last station in the Soviet sector and turn back.
Eventually, underground stations in the east were bricked off at street level, and trains from the west through, or rather under, East Berlin continued through these ghost stations, haunted only by the shadows of East Berlin border guards on the otherwise deserted platforms. Streets were split down the middle. Let's talk to two people who remember that day, one from the east and one from the west. Wolf Kühnelt lived in East Berlin, but first Klaus Michael von Keusler, who was a student in the West and who came to the border that morning, right here at the Brandenburg Gate.
People from the East German police, they started to lay down barbed wire, and we became aware that the East German government was going to close East Berlin. We were completely shocked and we couldn't believe that this could be successful.
I was right in the east of Berlin when it was on the 13th of August, and we had just finished our school, and so we are really surprised by this message that they erect such a wall in Berlin, and Berlin is divided. When I grew up in Berlin, the border was just a white line on the floor, and you could go where you wanted to. So we went to cinemas and libraries and shops and all this.
The East Berlin authorities, they closed all doors of the houses using concrete, the windows as well as the doors. And later on, they started also to demolish houses. People also tried to escape from these East Berlin houses.
Only a few minutes ago, I returned from the main refugee reception center at Marienfeld. There are so many people in process of being cleared through the center that it's hard to arrive at accurate figures. Some of these made quite dramatic escapes. For example, a man, his wife and two children, swam the canal in the night. The husband supported their three-year-old child on his shoulders. An eight-year-old, a little girl, swam as best she could between her parents. Others cut newly strung barbed wire in the dark and made a dash for freedom at the less heavily guarded points.
And the second, third, fourth day, people tried to cross the barbed wire to escape. These escapees were always applauded. People tried by using ladders to let people escape. They assisted them. And as you may know, I myself also started very early to assist our student fellows from East Berlin to come to West Berlin.
How?
We forged passports, West German passports, brought the passports to East Berlin, tried to find somebody who, of course, was willing to escape and who looked similar to the passport photo which we brought over the wall.
This is Peter Woods calling Radio Newsreel from West Berlin. The flow of refugees was 2,300 a day until the Reds barricaded the frontier last Sunday. Now the flow has dwindled down to only a handful each night. One of the people who has managed to get across is a doctor from East Berlin. Doctor, how did you get across?
by obtaining an identification card from one of my West Berlin friends. He gave it to me, and since our faces do match a little bit except for the eye color, I thought I could make the run for freedom. I combed my hair his way, his fashion, plastered it down with some brow cream, and then I put my thumb over the eye color, which was written down as steel blue, and mine are actually dark brown. So I went up one of these transport police guards and asked him, well, can I go to West Berlin? And he asked me, well, are you West Berliner? He said, yes, I am. So I showed him the identification card. He asked me, are you really West Berliner? I said, yes, I am. And he let me pass.
People built small constructions, or they took a table or a chair and then they waved. And then they made appointments at what time should we see each other, or they give signals by lights from one house to another. They throw parcels over the wall, which was ridiculous because there were guards on the eastern side.
The view from Klaus Michael von Keusler in the west. Wolf Kühnert's view from the east was different, though they did know there what was going on.
It was the same TV, the same broadcast station you could receive every evening. I am sure most of the people in East Germany, they didn't see the wall at all. They just saw it in the TV from West Berlin.
But then there were a few people who found themselves divided. Yeah. You can see it here. That side of the street was in the west, and you can tell by the architecture.
Right.
And that side over there was in the east, was East Berlin.
Yeah,
people were divided.
I remember it very well, because I had, in that time, a girlfriend just living over there on the other side. And, you know, in the morning you could see, just by binocular, you could read the headlines of newspapers in the west.
What, you would look over the wall with binoculars and read the papers?
Yeah. Sometimes, when you were visiting somebody in that area, so you could see the wall and you could see the newspapers from the other side. Just one door in the neighborhood, they built a tunnel. There was a sort of a tunnel, and some people, they just went through 10 or 15 meters from where I was.
The first difficulty was to find a house very close to the wall, and of course in this house a cellar from where we could start digging our tunnel. We ourselves, we never asked for money. But later on, one has to be honest, there were also groups, let's say in the late 60s, which asked money for letting people escape from east to west.
Overnight, the Russians moved more than 30 tanks into East Berlin. The British moved extra men and weapons down to the Brandenburg Gate as a precaution. Then, in late afternoon, the Americans laid on a modest probe into East Berlin, again to assert their right of free access. As their tanks withdrew, the Russians came up. The United States tanks reappeared, so later did the Russians.
Our feeling was that we trusted our allies, the Americans, the British and the French, and we thought these guys would immediately ask their tanks to remove this barbed wire fence and later on the concrete blocks.
As we now know, American and British tanks did not remove the barbed wire and the wall. It remained as the great focus of tension in the Cold War. Now, 20 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the structure itself, the concrete, has virtually all gone. Hardly a piece of it stands today. Berliners, in their unity, decided it was a bad lot and should be destroyed.
Steve Evans. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.